The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hello, welcome to The Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to the day before the day of the end of the worst year of the world. I'm not sure that's the case. I mean, Genghis Khan killed a lot of folk. But anyway.
You also had a lot of kids.
You also had a lot of kids.
Replaced them all.
Welcome to the show. My name's Rob, and I'm joined by Tom Layton on the show, everybody. Whoop, whoop.
Yay. How are you doing, guys?
That's a great question. How are you, Twitch chat? What's going on? Thank you to everyone who subscribed while we were live on the air. So there's loads of people to thank, like Jarkortor, I think I saw Nikos, McCypher, loads of people subscribing. So big love to all of you, and I hope you're well. But I'm going to ask Tom. Tom, how are you? Are you well?
I'm awake, mate. So that's an improvement over the last 12 hours. So that's been pretty good. I had a scroll through Reddit. That was all right. Nothing exciting going on. That was fine. Yeah.
Jumping into Pop 40K again. Classic.
Of course, mate. Nah. I don't visit that sub enough for it to turn up on my timeline. So, you know. A couple of things did pop up, but it's always, hello, we have made a podcast talking about a thing. I'm like, okay, good for you. Here is a battle report. It has 300 upvotes. Fantastic.
Hey, listen, that self-promo is important. I'm into it.
Yeah, I just don't get why they get upvoted. I guess it's a bookmark thing, but you can just do that on YouTube. But okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people want to. I don't know. Who knows?
Very weird.
Yeah, very weird. Hello, everyone in the chat. So DJ Batman, Plymouth Troll says, no, I do not want to play some Total War later, but I also obviously want to play Total War later. Can't ever want to stop, Tom. I don't know about you, but I'm just obsessed with the game. I have hundreds of hours into it from when it first came out, and I've been really good, but recently I've been getting those old cravings, and I'm not doing it.
Playing those duo campaigns, Rob?
No, none of that. I've been doing of that. I can't do any of it. I've got too much to paint. I've got loads to paint, and I'm trying to get myself in the zone. I've got things to paint, things to print, venues to sort, tournaments to organise for next year. I've got travel to sort. I've got videos I want to make.
Travel to sort? My word.
Well, hypothetical travel.
Yeah.
Hypothetical travel to plan.
You'd be getting some government exemptions. Well, I've finally taken notice of The Honest Wargamer and its official contribution to worldwide sports.
Do you know what I mean? Thank you, everyone, for noticing my brand new Christmas shirt that I got. Big shout out to WAP92 in the chat for the shirt.
I did not notice, I'm going to be honest.
You didn't notice, Tom?
No, I'm so sorry.
You didn't notice that I have a different Czech shirt on to my Czech shirts?
No, sorry. My bad.
Okay, that's fine.
Never mind. Yeah, well, I say it how it is, mate, even if it's not necessarily the nicest thing to say.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. It's fine. That makes loads of sense. Hey, Stu Flynn, Herminister, what's going on? I hope you're all well. Plaid life. Yeah, I think it's okay. It's a nice shirt. It's very thick material. Very nice. Very happy. So thanks, everyone.
I think it's just the chat's got a different angle to me, and that's why I didn't notice.
You nailed it, Tom.
Yeah.
So can I tell you one of the things that I was thinking about? I want to ask you about your Christmas and some other stuff, but I want to talk about me first.
You're fine. Go for it.
One of the things I was thinking today, I'm going to put it out as a tweet later, it's a $1 million idea. I don't think this exists, right? But you and me, normally on the Thursday show, traditionally over the past few years, Nick has been the kind of hobby powerhouse of the three of us, right?
True.
But me and Tom, we've done pretty well in the past year or so.
I've won awards.
Yep, Tom's won an award. I didn't. But we're all learning. I don't use Coca-Cola to thin my paints down anymore. I have a wet palette. I have more than one brush. Look at that. Wow. I only paint with one stubby brush. I would like everyone to know that's the only paintbrush I use.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. No matter what what level of detail I'm painting. But I was thinking today, why Colonel Cabbage, Merry Christmas, missed you. One of the questions I was thinking today was, why isn't there an app, right, where I track my hobby progress and I get rewards like an RPG.
Okay. Yeah, but the rewards thing isn't a thing. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I've been using Figure Case, which is an app you can get. I don't know if you can get it on Android, but for developers on Twitter. And effectively, it's just an app where I thought, did I bring my phone out? I didn't bring my phone with me. That's okay. So basically, I ended up just putting in my models that I own, and then I could put in with their built, assembled, painted, based, all that good stuff. And then it like has like a bar where like the green is done, and then, you know, it's like traffic lights all the way across, so you can track how much you've got painted. It doesn't give you the achievements though, so it's not quite the same as what you just proposed, but you know, I find it very useful.
Because I was watching someone today, specifically Trog, if anyone is a big fan of Trog, the man himself, what a legend.
Painting some more Trogs.
Well, he's not. He says he's been in a hobby funk since the beginning of the year. Yeah. Which I completely understand. And I think a lot of people are in that same place because like a lot of people, at least in the community that you and me might maybe touch. Yeah. Like with the world are people who are generally tournament focused. And because they're tournament focused, normally there's a deadline, gives you a goal sort of thing. I think that that's not necessarily true. Some other people don't have that as their kind of like target and goal, which is I hear you. You're all brilliant. Mm. Like everyone's on their own journey. Love those journeys for you in your life, which is great. Mm. But I was just wondering how you could inspire people, because I was thinking about the new year, right? And I was like, what could we do on the Honest Wargamer to like inspire people? Should we run like a thing? I don't really know. Like keep track. But there's like, it's just like, I was like, just do it. It would be so fucking cool if there was an app. And you just like, you're like, you painted a Death Guard model. You got one contagion point. And there's like a way of like, you know, going through it and getting each one of the achievements.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that's the best way to do it, because you don't really want to disincentivize people, like say, oh, well, if you don't paint the number of models that you've listed as your quota, you will get 4 spankings. Because at the end of the day, people have lives and they go on. So really just trying to incentivize like people getting the painting done, you know, is a good thing. I mean, it doesn't even necessarily matter about the quality, because at the end of the day, you improve by just doing it.
Yeah, and just inspire people is all I was thinking. Like, you know, I'm not saying like it's not been done before, and I know that there are some apps that kind of track your painting, but I love the idea that you track it and you end up like, you know, so like you can have
a little
badge, or like, you know, you get some sort of like special name or something because you painted each one of the Death Guard models.
Specifically over lockdown, I saw this like run challenge thing where it was like you ran a certain distance and that would be equivalent to like some historical, like, you know, landmark, like there's a Hadrian's Wall 1, and if you like ran that distance or whatever, then you'd get like a little Hadrian's Wall like plaque thing that you could stick on your wall that looked actually kind of nice. So I don't know if you're thinking some of like similar for painting, right?
Yeah, that would, do you know what I mean? That would be so badass. Like if you get towards like, if you get to the end of the app, you know, let's say you paint a faction, you paint a unit from every model from a faction or some, I don't know, like, you know, you end up with some sort of like special trophy or something, but just generally as a way to like, I just think that would be a good idea. I just think
here's another problem I kind of have. So behind me, I've got Gazgul, and I really want to paint him. My problem is, I know if I paint him, I'll have no incentive to paint the 200 odd orc boys who are also sat behind me.
I hear what you're saying. So are you doing, it's a bit like eating your vegetables before you eat the meat, not that I eat meat anymore. But like, you know, when you have a pie, so you eat all the veg first around the pie, and then you eat the pie because the pie is the delicious bit that you're excited about. So what you're saying is like, you're going to paint all the boys to inspire you to paint Gazgul.
I mean, I'll try, but we're working our way through it. So what I'm currently doing is I'm painting all of my Imperials. So I'm starting with all of my non-Space Marine Imperials. So I've got a load of Guard done. Everything that isn't done is now at least sprayed. I've got some more Guard that I'm going to put in a box. So basically, I'm doing all the shelf stuff first, and then I'm going to do the box stuff afterwards. And the shelf stuff's the stuff I'm most likely to be using. So they are going to get all painted up, so my shelves look nice, and then I'm going to move on to the Marines, and then I'm going to move on to Chaos, and so on and so forth. So I'm just working my way through my cabinets, trying to get my stuff done.
Okay, well, that's a decent plan.
Yeah, I mean, that explains why I'm doing this, because I messaged like the Twitch chat the other day, I think, because I went to Warhammer World to get some sprays, but I also wanted to get some stuff to fill out my shelves, because I've got an Acheron who was very lonely on his shelf. So I was like, oh, what do I buy to go alongside it? And then I ignored all the ideas, and I bought two warglaives because I saw them on the shelf and thought they were a good idea. So they're now painted. They're on the shelf next to the unpainted Acheron, which I need to get to when I get a second. I don't know, just painting knights just feels really weird to me, man. It's all like internal workings.
How do you mean?
Well, like, you get to paint it, and when you look at, like, the legs and the body and what have you, and very little of it is actually, like, armor plating.
Yeah.
Most of it is just, oh, here's a cog. Off you go. I'm like, oh, yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
That's what my knights, I kept the carapace off, so all the armor plates and stuff. And I just banged it with, like, lead belcher, like, rattle can.
Yeah, that's effectively what I've done.
Dry brushed it, washed it, and then I just spent some time on the armor plates. Like, it was my kind of process. Everything else beyond that is a bit like, a lot of effort you guys are going to.
I kind of did similar. I did part assembly for the warglaives, but I can't really do that on the actual knights. So what I do is I just, I paint, like, lead belcher spray. I then pick out some of the details or some of the other plate, like, bits of the internal stuff with some brass, just to, like, break it up a bit. Wash it up in oil, and then you're pretty much done with the inside, right? So, you know, it's a bit of a pain. But I tell you what, though, the warglaives took a little bit of time just because I had quite a bit of freehand to do on them as well, because those multi-melters did. Holy moly.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. They're really nice models, though, the warglaives.
Yeah, they are cool. They look good next to it. Just need to get the actual Acheron itself done. I mean, I need to redo my Crusaders because they're a bit of a mess right now. And that's all my knights done.
Okay. Well, that's pretty positive.
Pretty much fair. Like, yeah.
That's good. So you're spending the Christmas break just pushing through on all your painting?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't played League in over a month because I've just been painting. So
pretty
I'm trying
impressive.
To. Yeah, yeah.
Have you found it better for your mental health?
Not really. No. I don't really care, man. Like, to be honest.
Okay. Like, I find the painting, I guess, therapeutic to a degree. But I got to say, just working through my backlog has been a big punch into my mental health positives.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say, is your mental health doing better because you're not playing League? And not being
that's also true. That's also true because of the toxicity. But I imagine toxicity.
I'm not. I actually got my my reward skin this year because I had a favorable honor rating, which means
hey,
I have.
Hey, there you go.
In the entire year.
You're a good guy. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been chat restricted 11 times, so. Yeah. I mean, like, I never initiate it, but at the same time, if someone gives it to me, I give it back. And I make sure I give it back worse than how they give it to me because, fuck you. Right? We've lost the game anyway. I'm going to have fun a different way tormenting this asshole.
Yeah, that's fair. Let me see what the chat is saying. Dark Design says, I made a project list to work on next year. I have big projects like finishing my Stormcast and smaller projects like Blackstone Fortress expansion models in between. I'm not sticking to the order on the list, really. It's just grab something off the list and do it. That makes sense. I think giving yourself some... That's the other thing about not having tournaments is because normally you'd be like, right, okay, I'm going to a 40k tournament in, like, say, 3 months. I would like to play this army. And so you would practice that army, you would maybe get that army painted up, let's say, you know, or you go into an Age of Sigmar tourney and you think, okay. I mean, I found it positive because I've just done my backlog, is what I've done. I mean, I haven't done all of my backlog, but I've been pushing through my backlog, ultimately. But yeah, like, I could see why. And it takes a fucking ton of time, doesn't it? It takes a ton of time to get these things finished and painted. Like, I don't know about you, Tom, I don't know how much you've added to your collection over the past year. But, like, I definitely in the past bought unreasonable amounts with an expectation that I could get these things done way faster than I thought I would be able to do.
I bought my Grey Knights, and then I've bought lots of little bits that I've just added to shelves and stuff. Most of the stuff I bought has just been secondhand. Like, someone will turn up in my WhatsApp chat and say, hey, I've got some of this stuff. Does anyone want to buy it? And I'm like, oh, that's good value. I'll have that. So I just buy it. Like, I bought a bunch of guard heavy weapon platforms and some tanks because, I mean, it fleshed up my guard quite a bit. I bought a bunch of blood letters so I can finally get my 30 blood letters on. And then I bought my Virtus Praetors and Warglaives, and that's about it, really, I think. I don't think I bought too much else. I bought a Gaskull. I bought a lot of ogres. A lot of naked big boys. So, yeah, it's been, you know, I've not spent too much, but I've acquired a lot of toys. I probably painted less than I've acquired, but, you know.
Oh, dear. Oh dear, yeah. You've gone into the negative.
Yeah, oh, well, it's one of those, isn't it? You know, you make it work eventually.
Right. Oh, De Templar, thanks for subscribing. Also, big shout out to De Templar being a gorgeous key worker, working for the NHS during this time. So, big love to you. Thanks for doing all that you do in the hobby. That's right, Tom. You've only got 60 more blood letters to go if you're to run the right amount of blood letters.
No, it's fine. So one of the things that's going on right now is there are some scrims going on. So we've got
scrim.
So like lots of different teams are playing 8v8 over the tabletop simulator. Mm-hmm. As like WTC prep. So the Polish are doing it, the French are doing it, the English are doing it, the Germans are doing it. We have got a Scottish-English coalition that's formed. So I'm playing in one of those against the English next week. And I'm playing demons, so that should be fun.
Wow! Yeah. So which sort of demons are you doing? The Tzeentch demon list?
No, it's Slaanesh, mate. Okay. Well, I say Slaanesh. It's not quite Slaanesh, but I don't like. We're far out enough that me talking about it isn't a massive deal. But at the same time, I don't really want to like go into like the critical details of what we're doing, right? Okay. I doubt I'll actually end up playing this. It's just a case of. I do what I always do. I let everybody else pick what they want, and then I pick from the bin. And then two dudes said, I will play this, or I'll play Slaanesh. And I'm like, well, I'll just play Slaanesh, and then that takes the fucking choice out of you guys, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a big deal.
So
it's not
a lot
hard
of people
play.
In the chat wondering which nation are you actually playing for this year?
Not allowed to say. But I have not applied for a team that is not Wales.
If you guys aren't aware of what that might mean, Tom has quite legendarily been a merc for many teams. He's been Canadian at one point. He's been all over the globe as an WTC member. Yeah. But in the Welsh team, I think at the moment is.
Yeah. I'm getting chained to it this year as well because of the change for rules. So basically, once you play for a team as a non-merc, which I'm going to like. Well, I've played for Wales as a non-merc, so. If I get selected, then I will be chained to Wales forever.
So you'll be a Welsh WTC member for as long as they'll have you.
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah.
Wow, it's pretty solid.
Solid.
Yeah. Wonder everyone in the chat. Where are you from? And are you in your 40k WTC team or not? Are you planning on being?
Nice, Sergeant Rolf. I know a lot of the Danes. They don't like playing me. No, I played Lauger repeatedly. Lauger's great. I love Lauger. And the Six Nations last year, the home nations, I played. I think it was your captain, but he was playing Chaos Demons. So I'm not mates with the captain, so I'm not in my team. I mean, I can't really dispute that at this point, to be honest. You know, it works.
Right, has anyone in the chat got anything they want to bring up? Ask any questions about? I'd love to hear what you guys have got like going on at the moment. I'm just painting up. Tom, I'm painting up this guy. This is my boy.
Is that? I see it's a Nurgle guy, but I don't know what that actually means.
So he's a Lord of Contagion, but he's the alternate sculpt. So he's the easiest to build Lord of Contagion. So he looks slightly different. I'm hoping a bit like the... I'm making a like long-term bet that the Gravis Armor guy ended up getting painted like... get loads better from Space Marine, so I'm hoping Lord of Contagion guy does as well.
They need to sell more of those, Rob, so you know, I would agree with you.
That's my hope. So look, I'm painting him up. He's a cool dude anyway, and if he isn't, and if he's shit, it's just one model. He's not very complicated and he looks a bit derpy.
If he's shit, he's Nurgle, so it makes sense.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's fine. So I'm really happy with that.
Just
reading where everyone's from. So yeah, I'm painting up this guy, and then I'm now 30 Marines finished into my Death Guard. So 30 Plague Marines, which I'm actually quite proud of because they're quite detailed. So I'm really chuffed with that. I've done 2 Plague Burst Crawlers to give you guys updated. 7 Mephitic Blight Haulers and 3 Plague Drones is where I'm currently up to, which is so not bad. That's a pretty like hefty start. I've already got like 90 plague bearers done. I haven't done any Nurglings yet, but I'm going to finish off all the Marines. Then I'm going to do the Blight Lord Terminators. Then I'm going to do the characters, and then I'm going to do the demons. So I haven't hit my target to get the whole lot done before New Year, but I've like taken a good solid chunk out of it out, which is good. And I've learned loads.
Absolutely.
And I've learned loads about streaking grind. And
you've talked about that for weeks.
Yeah.
You love your streaking grind, bro.
Yeah, I love that stuff. wait, Pete Pratt, I might switch to 40k seriously for next year and try to make the Northern Irish team. Oh, that's amazing, Pete.
There you go. Yeah, do it. There's a ranking system there, so it's an objective way of easily getting on that team.
Yeah.
Just go to events.
In an interesting place as well for next year, Tom, for like team setup and stuff, because we know the new edition is coming in the summer. So like being aware of that, like, it's a bit interesting about like going super hard. Like, I don't know, with Age of Sigmar at the minute, I feel a bit like, well, the next 6 months is just a laugh. It's like the end of the edition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, also, COVID's going on. So like, I'm not too, like, that's why like Owen's little fat middle event will be like super fun. I don't mean little because it's little. I'm just being cute about it because I'm excited, yeah, sort of thing. Like I feel like basically, if I get all my Age of Sigmars prepped and painted and ready for the new edition, yeah, next year, I'll be in a better place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, also, you guys are kind of still stuck being a side event to a 9th edition tournament, so, you know.
How do you mean?
I mean, you're still at the ETC, right?
Oh, well, I wouldn't go to ETC. Like,
no, I mean, you talked about how Age of Sigmar was in a weird spot regarding ETC.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's in a weird spot competitively. It probably is a better, like, description.
Ah, right, okay,
I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But like, not that it's not like super fun to play with and whatnot. No, it's just with, I think it will have loads of rapid expansion, like kind of Psychic Awakening, Broken Realms stuff. That'll happen really fast. There'll be loads of rules changes, and there'll be a new edition. It'll all be invalid. So it's a bit like, do I stay on that like super hard, or do I just kind of coast for a bit and then just like catch up sort of thing? You don't know how much everything's going to change. Hopefully Priority Rolls are not going, obviously. Like, is coherency changing? I think coherency changing could be a really massive one. So I'm interested.
What do you think will happen? It'll change to two?
No, I don't think it'll change to two, but I think what could happen ultimately is you could end up with what's happened with 40k coherency, because I think that they've intended to make units look like blocks of infantry. So I think the kind of like diagrams of models, you know, what's up?
No, I just read Neil Kerr's comment in the chat. Speaking of AOS in the summer, what are your thoughts on the ETC getting moved to later in the year and being T9A only?
Is that true? I don't know if that's true, Neil. What are your thoughts on the ETC getting moved later in the year and being 9A only? That would be dumb.
That would be dumb. That doesn't mean it's not true.
Interesting.
Hey, we've got an Exodus train if you want to. Choo choo, motherfucker. Let's go.
Oh, dear. See, one of the things about. I could get into this conversation all day, but generally, AOS ETC is more insidiously linked with like Games Workshop's like inner cabal of game developers. So there's more likelihood that there's something official Games Workshop like orientated occurring and planned, but we'll see. The AOS USA captain was asking if there was a space for the WTC of them, and then the main chairman players of the ETC forums are suggesting pushing this. Oh, Neil, yes! In which case, yes, get those boys in, yeah? Right.
Gotta make sure it happens first.
Well, I mean, even if WTC doesn't happen this year because of COVID, it's happening one year. And I trust people like Neil, Tom, and Ishik way more than I trust like whoever, like some insidious company I don't know or face that I don't know. And then I'm super hyped for that. And then we could just do it all on one roof. I could just bring more equipment and we could just live stream more shit. Fuck yeah.
Take more bandwidth. Yay. I'll be having all of that. All of our bandwidth, bud. That's mine. I'll be having that.
All the bandwidth, bud. That'd be interesting. Each country needs 70% vacation rate, and even then it'll take another month of waiting for vaccine population to take effect. Oh, sorry. I can't see physical events happening in 2021, even with the vaccine, says the Templar. Okay. And he's a nurse. Okay. Well, it either will or it won't happen. I am planning for maybe physical events will happen in some format from March onwards, but maybe they won't. So let's find out, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm not in any, I don't know.
I'm at the point where I'd probably self-isolate for 2 weeks either end just so I can go to WTC, but I doubt many other people would be in my same position.
Yeah.
Because that's a month out, right?
That's what I mean, plus the week of the WTC, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually 5 weeks out of someone's whole year, which I just don't think is applicable.
Feasible.
to blue collar gamers. So
agreed, to be honest, mate.
Yeah. Anyway, well, like, let's not try and bum it out, like, because it's rough for all of us who play these games. That's why TTS is fun at the minute. That's why, you know, I don't want to become a Warhammer Total War streamer. Although you'd get a lot of content out of me, because I would just do nothing all day.
Just play Warhammer Total War, mate. It'd be fine. Who doubt for that? You know, I
fucking
can do that.
Total War, man. No, but I'm shit at it. That's the other problem as well. Have you ever watched the people who are really good at it? They are so good at it.
What is it, like campaigns?
Campaigns, yes, but then just the actual like game, like the battle mechanics.
I mean, I've watched them play AI, but the AI is often like abusable in terms of how it behaves.
Have you ever watched the online matches?
No.
Oh my god, they're so good.
I'm out of luck then.
So good, man. Yeah.
I used to watch. I don't know if you remember a TV show. It was called Time Commanders on in the UK. Mm-hmm. And what it would be was you'd got a team of just four peasants off the street, and they'd be brought in to reenact a historical battle on the old Rome Total War engine.
Okay.
For BBC Two. And I really enjoyed that show. I thought it was really good. It's one of the things that like got me into Warhammer, I think, really.
That was really good. I do remember that. Yeah. That was super fun. That was
came back for like a year, a couple of years ago.
Did it?
Yeah. They did another one.
People would be very interested to, like, I mean, one of the things that I think have got people in, like, interested in, like, classical warfare has got to be Game of Thrones.
Possibly. I know there's a lot of attention on that kind of stuff, right? Like, Barbarians coming out on Netflix and what have you, and to a lesser extent, Vikings. I know it's not the same era, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All the VODs of Time Commanders are on YouTube, by the way. I found a playlist. So if you want to watch all of them, they're all on the internet, easily accessible. Like, you can just whack them on while you're painting and, you know, laugh at, like, Dave from Surrey getting rolled by fucking, I don't know, whatever, some elephants or some shit. Pretty good.
I liked watching that. But what I was going to say was, I've never seen so many armchair commanders, yeah? As I have seen during the attack on Winterfell by the White Walkers. Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, we were some of them.
Huh?
We were some of them, to be fair.
We were live tweeting, and I was into
it. Yeah, we were live tweeting. Why the fuck am I?
But we're already generally interested in military sort of, like, I know it's Warhammer, but we all think we're kind of generals. Like, there's some sort of, like, military sort of, like, thing to it.
You don't need to be a helicopter pilot to see a helicopter in a tree and tell someone it shouldn't be there. Same with the trebuchets.
That's true. It's the same with the cavalry charge at the start, yeah.
Yeah, and the trebuchets being on the front line and everybody just being outside. It's just like,
To be fair, when we saw the Dothraki charge, we didn't know that they magically regenerated later on in the timeline. So we had no idea about.
They're
that.
Like orcs when they die; they drop spores and grow.
Yeah,
but they do
more
it really
Dothraki.
Quickly. Yeah, more Dothraki everywhere.
So really, that's our fault. We didn't understand the in-game the in-universe mechanics. Yeah.
We didn't realize how to stratagem to do that. Just come back on. my word. What a state.
Anyway, that was a disaster. I don't know. I think it would be interesting. I think it's interesting, like, the, because you can't disavow, or you can't, like, knock the numbers on just how popular board games have become before COVID, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then during COVID, like Zoom calls, and I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people have also got into computer games, right? You know, they've gone and got themselves some, like, sweet ass PC rigs. They've downloaded WoW or whatever else that they've done, or they're playing TTS. So there's a lot of that kicking off. But I also think, like, generally, it feels like the mood has shifted, and there's a lot of people wanting to play games. They want fun in their life.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why we've seen the uptick, and I think we'll see that more in the future. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it was very much a thing anyway, you know, as people who, like, grew up playing games, like, become professional footballers and popularize shit, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that, absolutely. Tom get a new shower curtain for 2021?
No, fuck you.
I'm going to set up a fund to get Tom a new set of curtains.
But I have to finish the Tesseract Vault fund first, mate, settle down.
No, we're doing a curtain fund. That's what we're doing. Tom's curtain fund is going to be at the bottom of the scroller.
Yeah. I'm just going to turn up with a weird hairstyle. That's all it's going to be. Just turn up with curtains.
I would love to see you cyberpunked up. That would be super fun.
Oh dear, I'm not sure anyone else wants to see that, mate, to be honest. That's okay though, we don't mind.
Anyway, very exciting, like that maybe there'll be events next year and maybe there won't.
I mean,
that's one of the I guess the hardest bits of what we're all going through right now. We obviously all gonna run into 2021 excited about the new year because it brings new opportunities. And obviously, you know, a lot of people out there saying, you know, it's not going to be any different. And I understand that. And it's a super fair point.
It's a placebo, though, right? At the end of the day.
Like, it is. It's just an opportunity. Yeah, it's like when you're having a shitty day, you go to sleep. I mean, nothing's changed when you wake up. It's just a new day, right?
Yeah, it's just a different number. But at the same time, it's like years mean a lot to people sometimes, right? Yeah. So, you know, you wake up and, you know, it's a different thing, I guess, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a soft reset that people often need to spur people on to, you know, do stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be a good thing.
So if you are one of those people out there that needs that 2020, like, refresh, like, I hear you, I'm with you. Like, I don't think, like, nothing's going to change necessarily my very, like, day-to-day, like, the projects I've got ongoing are still ongoing for me. But that doesn't mean, like, it's not a great opportunity to say, this might be the year when you can, and everything that happened in 2020 we get to leave behind, which is also a positive as well. Although there were some great times in 2020, as much as there were some rough times, sometimes you need some time to mope to stop you moping about, says Captain Brad. But I agree with that, that's super fair. I know you're doing a lot of painting, Tom, and everything else, but next year 40k wise, are there any a top three factions you're like most excited about, like coming out?
I kind of want to see what Drakkari does, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a lot of Drakkari. It's never been my main faction. I've always like played them alongside the Craft Wards whenever I've touched them. But at the same time, I'm interested to see what they do, because I feel like it's also going to be a precursor for Craft Wards too, right? So I'm very interested to see what happens when they drop. Other than that, I don't think we really know what else is dropping, right? We know Dark Angels is coming. We know Death Guard are coming. What else have we got?
That's all we know. I feel like Orcs is soon as well. I feel like if we think about the timeline, I feel like Death Guard would have already been out. And then we saw, like, in the 9th edition video, Oz, thanks for subscribing. Merry Christmas. So I feel like, I feel like if timeline had happened non-COVID, I feel like there would have been an Orc release before even Christmas. So I feel like we'd have had one just gone. And my evidence for that is they showcased some Orc models, an Orc model during... remember there was that little teaser video, like when Nine?
Yeah.
And they're like, bam, 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 bam. And then there's also that limited edition Orc model now coming out. For like the store stuff.
Yeah.
And so ultimately I feel like that they all would have coincided together. And so that's why you ended up with that store model, because that would have already been shipped out and that was already part of like that plan. So I think we're getting a huge new Orc wave. I think the Orc wave is going to be giant. It's going to be loads of new models, massive codex. So I'm super excited about that. And I also think I think that's what we're going to see over the next year. I think we're actually going to see basically whole new armies dropped. You made the point the other day, right? Is that they're going to just reinvigorate every line, because like you've got your 90 Orc boys. They're not doing another Orc boy model. They're doing he's having a different weapon, or like they're Primaris them basically. Like you'll end up with an orc's chopper, but it'll be like an Orc Sharp chopper or something, which will be slightly different to the regular Orc Boy line. So you have
to buy. I'm used to chopping up my Orcs so I can just like replace the weapons and what have you, or replace the base. So chopping up an Orc to put a different chopper on it probably isn't a big deal, right?
No, yeah, that's kind of my point. Like, or maybe they'll give them all. Maybe they'll give the boys extra armor, and they'll just be like, the Orcs generally have geared up for war more. They've armored them a bit heavier. You know, whatever the situation might be. And
then... imagine the set of balls they'd need to just invalidate all the Orca Boy models in the world, though. Yes. Holy shit.
Well, you made the point, though. It was you who made the point. And I think, like, if you see what happened with... I mean, they got to be, like, looking at, like, what happened with Tactical Marines into Intercessors and just being like, cool, this is a way to print money. You know, same with Craft World stuff. You know, you've got Guardians and you've got, like... because Guardians are old as shit, aren't they? The models.
Maybe, but older than me, dude.
Yeah, so they're super old. So, like, you know, they're going to give them different weapon options or different guns or something. Like, maybe that won't be the case. Maybe they'll just be... maybe they'll be good to us and they'll just, like, just do straight upgrades. Yeah. But I don't see that being the case, right? I don't see that being the case at all.
Yeah, I get you, mate.
So
I know. I feel like Craft Worlds are going to be soon as well, just because their book is one of the older books now. It was one of the first ones to come out in 8th edition. You've also got a lot of rules just floating around everywhere for lots of different things for that book. And an updated model range is probably, like, mandatory at this point. So maybe we get one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think... Yeah. Oh, DJ Batman, thanks for giving a gift subscription to Azos in the chat. Oh, that was nice. You did that. Oh, Merry Christmas. So Drukhari's one for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one I'm really looking forward to, because I know that one's on the horizon. I don't really have time to get excited about the things that I don't know about yet. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So what else? So what were your top three? Sorry.
There are only three that we know about, right? It's Dark Angels, Death Guard, and Drukhari, right?
Oh, and those are the three that you're hype about.
Well, those are the three that we know are coming next.
Yeah, I'm more asking, like, which three are you, like, out of, like, narrative or models, you know, like, they're factions that sing to you? Like,
well, it has to be Craft Worlds, really, doesn't it? Because I've been talking about, like, new model ranges that would be pretty cool, is what I'm hoping for. And also, the book could do with an update. I was playing against Sisters of Battle yesterday, and I took Grind Them Down.
Yeah,
and at every single turn I got Grind Them Down. I got it every single turn. So every turn I was killing more units than the Sisters were killing of mine, and I still got absolutely fucking splattered because I couldn't physically contest a primary. Because the way that Eldar works is when you're screening, which is what you have to do against Sisters, because they just reserve a bunch of shit. You always end up just like pushing out with things like Falcons, right?
Yeah.
I'd really like to see things like Vipers. Be made a little bit more usable. I think they're fine as is, but at the same time, it's just like the only things you can really take to screen realistically are things like Rangers, and then they don't infiltrate anymore, and also they're not actually that durable, especially when the board size is smaller, because they can just get charged and pummeled. So I don't know. Like, the Miracle Ice were fine. It was more a case of I just, like, every time I go for a primary, we trade one for one, right? And Sisters just really love trading one for one, because where the objectives were placed and another one in the center, you had three on either side. So the Sisters could lob shit at me and just lose it, and they didn't care. And I couldn't lob shit at him, because I'm already losing stuff on the sides, because I'm having to, you know, keep these Repenture off my Shining Spears. And oh, that was funny. I lobbed a unit of six Shining Spears in, because there were only six left and I had no other items. So I was like, fuck it, let's go. They killed the Rhino in front of them died full of Repentia. That was fine. Seven Repentia left. They killed all of a squad of Dominions, and they killed a squad of Sisters. And I'm like, right, we're going to charge a Repentia, because that'll get me behind the wall so I can't be shot at. Now, Repentia charging them is kind of dangerous anyway, because of the damage too. They've got, like, very strong attacks. But at the same time, they're quite squishy. So on average, you do 9 wounds, 7 people, 6 up in model, so fine. I do my 9 wounds. He loses 2 guys. Off his 6 plus invulnerable save and fly the spear at damage 2, and I'm like, okay, dude. And then we just turn around and murder all the spears, and I'm like, oh, well, this is a theme. So a few things have just been able to turn around and just, like, absolutely murder all the spears. So I don't know. Eldar are in a bit of a weird spot in terms of how they contest melee, because they're really not durable in melee at all. Like, I feel like, I don't know. A way to mitigate that would be fantastic. Just to stop Craft Forces dying instantly in all melee. It'd be lovely.
What are there, like, dedicated melee units, like, in the book? Like, not, like, saying good ones, but what ones?
Oh, no,
they
you're
have?
Fine. Are you ready, Rob?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Striking Scorpions. The guys who are stealthy with their chainswords.
Okay.
They have a 3 plus in armor save and toughness 3. That is all. We have Howling Banshees.
Yeah.
Howling Banshees are exactly the same profile, except they have a 4 plus armor save.
Oh, okay.
They go fast, and they hit at strength 3 of their power swords. We have Shining Spears, which have
right, okay, good ones.
Yeah, we have they hit hard, but they also don't have an invulnerable save in close combat. Oh dear. Okay. We have characters.
Yep.
That is all.
What about Wraith Knights?
I don't really count with Wraith Knights like as a dedicated melee unit, but more kind of just like a big piece you push around, right? Wraith Blades you could count.
Okay.
But they're kind of slow. And, you know, even then they might kind of work because they are toughness, you know, 6 and what have you. But is it worth watering down with this wash? I think it's worth watering down this wash.
Someone would say that, but I would never say that. That would that okay. sounds ridiculous to me, what you just suggested.
Well, I'm trying to get it through some of my, like, wings on this stupid Custodes model. I'm going to give it a try. See what happens, mate. If it's rubbish, it's rubbish. But we'll give it a try, okay?
All right, that's fair. That's fair. So there aren't many dedicated melee units in the Drukhari book, Craftlords book, really.
Like, there are a few, but we've got some. The main issue is just living, right? Because you currently all of your durability relies upon hitting things and killing it instantly, right? Which is fine, but it's not ideal in a game where you've got -1 damage everywhere and you've got, you know, feel no pains, and let alone vulnerable saves are just irritating. And then if something swings, it's just like, well, I just lost the game and it. There's literally nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, that's when they swing back, that you're just fucked, aren't you?
Yeah,
they're, just, they're swinging back, and there's zero you can do about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just,
I hear you.
Great.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. Yeah, because I guess the problem is you almost always need something that's going to sit on that objective and hold it. So you do need that tanky unit, but Eldar more than anything are like they're not necessarily in the greatest place to do that. I do like you know, the units that make your opponent who's charged strike last.
Yes.
That's a fun kind of mechanic to be able to integrate into Eldar, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't even play primary. I'm saying that in some missions, you physically can't play primary. Because, like, that mission where you, like, all the objects from the other side, unless you just, like, absolutely twat your opponent, which is difficult because it's mission 5, it's like, well, that's just not really feasible, is it?
No.
And then, I don't know, like, a lot of the other ones, you end up playing primary by just kicking your opponent off rather than you taking them.
That's fair.
Which is why I really like the Night Spinners. I think the Night Spinners are mandatory.
You think Night Spinners are mandatory?
Yeah.
How come?
Like, because they allow you to force your opponent to act in certain ways, but also allow you to control that primary a bit by just kicking off loose shit from objectives. The problem that you have with them is that they're damage 2 and that there's damage, -1 damage reduction everywhere. So.
It's true. It's true. They're dreadnoughts. Oh, baby. They're not fucking about, are they?
No, not at all, mate. It's a big pain in the ass. Dreadnoughts are everywhere. Like, it's good, apart from it doesn't beat any of the things you need to beat, right? that's all it is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Jacoba Cabbage in the chat says, Drukhari going to be interesting. Racks need 2 wounds. Witches need a new role so they don't have guns, aren't killing, and aren't survival. Also, we could see some combat Cabalites if the Psychic Awakening new codex cover art an indication of the way Games Workshop are moving forward with that faction. I think ultimately, having looked at like what GW have done with the Necrons and the Marines so far, they at least understand to a degree what it is that you need units to do inside the new books. But that's whether or not that holds true for the rest. Because obviously, anything that isn't those 2 books is like a codex not designed to play the game that we're playing now. So
yes.
I would like to hope that they understand that they need each book needs a role, like needs units that fill different roles. Like you need objective holders, you need objective pushers, you know, you need all sorts of different stuff. And and whether or not we'll see that, like you know, Orc boys could take those objectives quite well. You know, a lot of attacks, but holding them is a bit of a drama. 30 wounds is 30 wounds. Don't get me wrong, like it's good, but it's not like they have any sort of armor save. So if you can basically just put 30 wound dice into an orc army, you're
it's
basically
true.
A lifted.
They are tough as 4, though, which is nice.
That is really, really nice. Really, really nice. The other thing I'll say about them is combat attrition for hordes is excellent now. Like, so morale check slash the combat attrition thing is just great for hordes. You almost never lose your horde unit anymore, which I actually think is a big bonus.
Specifically hordes that come back as well.
Like I mean, especially a horde that comes back like orcs. Yeah, so that's a super solid point. But yeah, like it's pretty wild how good the combat attrition test is for units. And I'd be very interested to see if that, again, talking about Age of Sigmar, Tom, if that was something that transferred over. Bravery has been a bit of a joke in Age of Sigmar for a long time. because either it doesn't affect you at all or it basically makes you lose the game. Those are the kind of two the two swingy places that you're at with bravery. Yeah. And there are so many ways to negate, like, Battleshock tests and everything, that I wouldn't mind seeing combat attrition being a little, applied a little bit more fairly. Mm-hmm. And it just means those people with really good bravery aren't really in this, like, ascendant position. Like, a lot of people, I think, would say, I want to see bravery and Battleshock tests be more important. Yeah. But I understand that. But they've already, like, it's a bit like bolting the door after the horse has run. Like, they've already given away so many rules to people to avoid it that you might as well make it so that people on the other end of the spectrum, so, like, Geats or Beast of Chaos, or, like, people with low bravery anyway, with hordes, and not real any ways to mitigate it, like, initially, they just get, they get some, they combat attrition is easier for them. I like the combat attrition change, personally. I think it's really good.
I'm a big fan. I like it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Especially with the inability to spam auto-pass morale checks as well.
Yeah, that's so good.
You have to play around it. Yeah.
So good. Really like that. You really like that. So I'd love to see that put into AOS. Don't know what anyone else in the chat thinks about that, but personally, yeah. Yeah, see, as a Dark Angel player, watch combat attrition. So that's my point, right? Like, if you had whole factions in 40k that basically just negated slash ignored it, you'd be like, well, what's the point in what's the point in us even using slash applying it? So the fact that, like, your horde of orc boys can't lose 20 dudes and the rest run away is great. So yeah, I'm pro that. Really pro that. I think that's a great change by those guys.
So, yeah, absolutely. What are you working on at the minute there, Rob? You still working on your Lord of Contagion?
I am, sir. I am.
What have you got all over there on the left?
Here?
Yes.
Oh, so the guys in the chat can't see. So they were my Marines. So if anyone wants any sort of, like, hot tips, so I applied the Streaking Grime to... it's got a bit of croissant on. So I applied some Streaking Grime to my Marines. So then you use some white spirit to take it off. I've just used it like a wash. If you go and watch the Cult of Pint video where it, like, they show you how to use it more as like a pin wash, or use it a little bit smarter than the way I've done it, there's some great examples of how to do that. But I just use it as a wash, basically, and then I just get, like, super serious with a cotton bud and some white spirit. But I found if I wait, instead of just doing it, so normally I'll do it the night before, then I'll take it off the next day. If I wait, like, 2 days, so I've done a couple of experiments, so instead of doing it the next day, if I wait another day, the stuff in the kind of edges kind of tends to hold a little bit better when you apply the white spirit, and you also manage to buff up to the color underneath a bit more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, I let it, like, really cake in and settle, and then I add the white spirit. Then I start, like, taking it off with the white spirit. So that's the only real advice I've got. So, yeah, but, I mean, it's pretty fun. I also have used some more, I don't know what they're called, I guess they're pigments. I don't know. I used some rust paint. So if you guys can see inside the here. So this was just Lead Belcher, whatever it was, Army Painter, Silver, that one Vince thinks is shit. So it's that. You guys won't be able to see it super well. But it's that, and then I've obviously applied the Streaking Grime, and then I've taken off, I haven't taken it off there at all, actually. And then I've applied some more rust stuff, so it's like another wash. So again, just another, like, really easy, really simple thing to apply. Just use it, like, it's just, like, I've just using them as, like, really thick washes, basically, Tom.
Yes, yeah, it's a good idea, mate.
And then just fun. I'd like to try and experiment with some powders as well, but to be honest, I've got too much I've got too much on my learning plate at the minute. I don't know if you get that.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. No, I'm not really, like, I feel like you pick up a model and you think, oh yeah, I'm just going to paint it. And then you pick it up and you have no idea where to start.
Yeah. I think that's one of the nice things about painting, like, a range. Is you just, you've pretty much already decided, like, what a leather color is going to be. What, like, a wood is going to be, like, what...
Yeah. I mean, so, I just picked up, like, a Custodes bike for the first time, right? And despite having a Custodes armor, this is my first time painting Custodes armor, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah.
So I look at this model and I'm just like, where do I even start with this thing?
Are you going for the classic gold?
Yeah, mate, I'm just going for... I mean, I already have the gold on the helmets of my infantry. So it's fine. And then I've gone for purple on the like the loins and what have you. But there's just so much armor. I'm just like, what? Like, I did a lot of washes on the helmets, but I'm not sure I like that on like just a bike. So I'm just going a little bit brighter on this one just to see what happens. And now I'm just like making way for it. And I'm just like, this is really weird. I'm not entirely sure what I'm doing here. But we'll make it up as we go along. And if I don't like something, I'll come back and change it. It's not a big deal.
I would say that one of the good things, like, listen, like, there are just dozens of tutorials out there. And like, and even if it's not like exactly what you want, just have it on the background. So I've started using the Honest Wargamer. I told you this before, the Honest Wargamer Instagram. I very rarely use Instagram for hobby. I've always done Twitter. So I've never used it. So I've started to follow people on that now as well, and use that to like follow some dudes and like look up some stuff that I'm interested in, miniature wise and hobby wise. Again, I think it's just because there's a lack of like other stuff, you know, like I want to go out there and look at some, like, let's say tournament results or some lists or something, Tom. And it's just hard to get that information. There just isn't any of that information out there. So I guess what I'm really doing is I'm just exploring while waiting, if I get, like, if that's the way to describe it. Other stuff in the world.
I tell you what, mate, I'd love to be able to get good enough at painting to be able to like actually have do a tutorial and it'd be worthwhile. You know what I mean?
I really like that idea. What, you want to do a painting tutorial?
Yeah, if I were to get good enough, you know what I mean? I just really like the idea.
Okay.
Of like step by step guides on stuff, but also not just for like just making them, but also to know that I like made the thing, but you know, like I'm capable of making something that, you know, I can then share with others and people would want to paint like. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the highest compliment you can have. That you've painted something that you can then make a tutorial of how you painted that thing and people want to copy it. Rather than just someone going, oh yeah, it looks cool. But like the highest compliment is just like people like literally wanting to do what you've done.
Have you thought about just for yourself keeping track? I mean, like, because if you thought about it,
I have a database. So whenever I like put coats on things, I note down what I've done. So if I ever come back to it, like later on, I know exactly what I've painted.
Okay, so, but I more mean like as a video series is what I'm trying to say.
Oh no, that's like too much work, mate. Like but you get what I mean. But for just me, it's just not worth it. But like, I don't know if that makes sense.
I just more mean for tracking for yourself is what I'm suggesting. Like, you know, if you were to take, if you were to start, like, let's say now, and I feel like you've really picked up the hobby bug for painting and stuff over the past few months or past year. So if you were to start now, make yourself some videos, be like, here's Tom painting, and then, like, just show off your even if it's just take a picture, show off your results, right?
Oh, yeah, I do that on Twitter when I paint stuff, but the reason why I haven't seen much is because I haven't painted much stuff.
Twitter doesn't hold on to all the media, so eventually you lose it. So it might be worth giving yourself a different space. If
that's
nothing
why
else,
I couldn't find my Knights of the Game Table screenshots, damn it.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So maybe just give yourself the opportunity to, like, look at your past work and then watch yourself, like, move on.
Sure, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. It's a good idea. I might do that.
I do that by just never selling a model.
Well, you sell more models than I do, mate. I've never sold a model because I always feel like when I get out of this hobby, I'm going to get out like fully and sell everything I don't like want to keep as like a memento or something. You know what I mean? But until then, if I sell something, I know that a year later it's going to be OP and I'll have to buy some.
Yeah. I honestly don't see myself ever coming out of the hobby. And that's not just because I also, obviously, it's my work and whatnot. It's just like the people in it are so important to me and everything I'm doing. I can't see it being something I want to stop. Like, it's like whether or not like the game is in exactly the place that I want it to be, it's such a fun fandom to always want to be in. And because you can create the fandom yourself, like I'm very obsessed with doing these pirate ogres at the minute, right? Because there's 3D sculpts that I want to print and then paint. I just think that the fact that you can do that, it's just like you're becoming an artist in your own right, even if it's not a particularly good one or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and then it's just something fun to always do, like a little side hobby.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think it's more a case of I don't want to feel like I'm always doing it just because it's what I've always done.
Yeah.
So I always leave that open just so if I'm ever doing it, it is because I enjoy it, not just because it's routine. And also, you never know, maybe like more things become more important, like to me as I grow up and what have you. So I never want to like feel like I'm trapped or just going through with emotions.
I understand what you mean. I understand completely. Right, so Twitch chat, we're coming up towards the hour now. So it's the end of the show today. You've got a fun show tomorrow. Adam Chucklebutty is coming on the show. So he's one of those people who, with COVID and everything else, he's been busy with work, him and his missus. So he's kind of fallen out of Age Sigmar at the minute. So he's doing a refresher show. So what we're doing is he's asking me a bunch of questions and he's just like, catch me up with Age of Sigmar. So that's the kind
that's
of
cool.
That's a process of the show. So like, where are we at? So he's putting a bunch of questions together. So they're going to be there tomorrow. So that's Adam Hughes. So if you guys want to contact him with any questions or come prep with any questions tomorrow, I'm going to try and answer them to the best of my ability, so that people can go into 2020 being like, okay, I know where we're at with Age of Sigmar. That's nice. I know like what's going Dune. So looking forward to that. I hope that'll be useful and helpful for people. Looking forward to that. And then Friday, me and Owen are doing a list review show for the event, which we should be doing live coverage of on Saturday. So it should be a live day of coverage on Saturday from the TTS event, which I'm looking forward to as well. And as if that's not enough, thanks to everyone on Patreon, I think I'm going to bring Breakfast Battles back next week. So only going to do it three mornings a week, but Breakfast Battles are going to return. So I'm going to play games of TTS live, because they kind of stopped because we were doing the Super Series and we were moving venue and building the venue. It's all set in stone now. Obviously, I've got loads to do here, but I think I've got enough time to put three Breakfast Battles in.
Got that venue ready for when we are actually allowed to do things.
Exactly. So I'm just going to be playing some games online. You guys can join me and we'll be having... is it just AOS though? So Stu Flynn, I'd like to do 40k as well. That would be thank you very much Henry Steele for subscribing. So yeah, I'd like to do 40k as well. It's just whether or not I can fit that in. It's a lot, right? Like to fit in. Ultimately I'd probably like to just be online all day playing games.
That's
Steve Newcomb, thanks for subscribing as well. Big love to you. I mean, I could do. It depends. Maybe I could make like one of them a week. Could be 40k or I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
We'll find out. It'll be fine.
It will be fine. I think we'll try and sort it out. But yeah. Stu, I'd like to do a 40k one, so maybe. But the problem is I'm just waiting for that Death Guard Codex, Tom.
I literally
don't want to play anything until that Death Guard Codex comes out.
It's okay. You could just use the old one with new Mortarion. Would that be enough?
Yeah, or I might just play Harlequins. I still love Harlequins, so I might just play
Yeah, you could
guys.
Do. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right, well, Tom, thanks for being on the show today.
Pleasure, dude. Good to see you, mate.
And thank you to everyone who has joined us live. So tune in tomorrow. It should be a good fun laugh. Come with your answers prepped. Nick, miss you. Can't wait to see you again in the chat. Everyone in the chat, Chris CB, DJ Batman, Puke Newcomb, thanks for subscribing. Gork and Morka, all you guys, you should do a show like that for 40k, so especially before I start my sister's army long. Okay, we could try and do that. That sounds super fun. You're all great. Merry Christmas. Thanks to everyone on Patreon. Literally, I know it's a tough time for everyone in the world, but the fact that you donate as much as a cup of coffee or a sandwich or whatever you do, thank you. Literally live because you support. So thanks. And thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast. Please do stay hydrated. Hard even in these warm times. And Tom, any shout outs before we go?
No, go outside, melt some snow, drink it.
Perfect. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Love you all.
See you later.